Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yes, Angela, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Brian.
I love this. For all those who don't fully understand what we believe as Catholics, Christmas is an eight-day feast. So it's Christmas Day, actually starting Christmas Eve through the Feast of Mary on January 1st. And then there's a Christmas season that lasts until the baptism of the Lord. So it's a long season. It's fun. And I love it. And I like to wait until Christmas gets here to start saying things like that. But Merry Christmas.
So, Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, we had the last of our Caroling for Life for the ministry in Orlando, Florida, just a little more than a week ago, and had a great turnout. Of course, it wasn't minus 6 degrees in Orlando, Florida. So instead of, 40 or 45 people that we had at our various locations, we had 50 people in attendance in Orlando.
Woohoo! So,
but out there singing those amazing hymns we call Christmas carols. So very wonderful. And we've got another baby saved.
Oh,
now this is from... We just got the information here. In fact, we don't have full details yet. It was Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, and it was a Hispanic couple, the Spanish-speaking Hispanic couple, and they ended up saying yes to the life of their child, went to a pregnancy help center. It wasn't even the nearby one. It was further away, but they went there and got the help that they needed and said yes to life. So we're just another baby saved. So it's been a banner year as far as that goes. So. And my good friend, Jorel Godsey, there's a name. Jorel is the president and CEO of Heartbeat International. This past week announced they've added their 4,000 pregnancy help centers.
Wow.
To their system. So, and Heartbeat's amazing. They do a lot of very good work. They run what's called Option Line, which we use a lot. This is where a woman can call in or go online, and I think they can even text in, whatever it is, and they can just simply put in where they're at, and they'll get them to the nearest pregnancy help center.
And they'll also answer phone calls when the pregnancy center is not open. That we used it when I was at Cornerstone. We were a Heartbeat affiliate, and they do amazing work.
And not only that, but they also are the ones that run the abortion reversal network. So they do the abortion reversal process and have put up this whole network of doctors all across the United States that do abortion pill reversal. So they do this whole network of abortion pill reversal stuff all across the United States. And, they are the ones that are giving us the numbers of how many babies have been saved through that process since they put it together and run the program. And so it's just, very, very good organization. So I love working with them on any occasion that we can. So congratulations, Jorel, and to Heartbeat for that. May you guys keep adding more and more pregnancy centers. Senator Josh Hawley is a senator from Missouri, and his wife, Erin, actually works for Alliance Defending Freedom. It's a pro-life, pro-family legal organization that works across the United States. ADF, as it's often called. Well, the two of them decided, they just announced that they're starting a new nonprofit. It's called Love Life Initiative. And the whole purpose is to promote pro-life and family values, especially within elections. So we hope that goes very, very well. Maybe we'll get some good election stuff going on in Minnesota yet.
Oh my, I can't even, I don't even want to think about it.
Well, we need to, though, right?
We do. It's just such a nightmare here. What is happening? Man.
Well, the state of Louisiana and a coerced abortion victim have filed a motion for a preliminary injunction against the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's enforcement of the 2023 REM safety protocols. Their regulation stuff, which removed in-person disbursement of abortion pills. The lawsuit is contending that the in-person dispensing requirement was for the full, is being removed is for the sole purpose of allowing out-of-state doctors to facilitate illegal mail order abortions in states like Louisiana, where it's illegal. So they're also joining in with a motion that's been brought by the state of Texas and another state to challenge those REMS all over again. So we're hopeful that these will get some traction in the courts. Previous attempt actually failed at the U.S. Supreme Court, not because of the merits of the case, but on what's called standing issue, which means the plaintiffs in that case, the court ruled, didn't have the necessary requirements to be able to be the plaintiffs in a lawsuit. Now we've got new plaintiffs, new lawsuits, so we'll see how far this goes. It'd be very good to see them break apart the abortion pill industry.
Oh, yeah.
So Indiana is reporting a 98% drop in abortions.
That's hard to fathom. Do they account for women leaving out of state or going?
No, it does not. No, it does not. This is what's being reported within the state of Indiana. So certainly it's not a 98% drop in abortions all total.
Sure.
But there's still a significant
That's insane.
Number of fewer yeah. abortions taking place. And, yeah, they still have mail order hitting them. They still have people going out of state to Illinois and to Ohio and else, Michigan, I guess.
I was reading an NPR article about a midwife, or no, she was a doula, I think, who was traveling through state lines, going down south and dispensing chemical abortion pills. Down in states where it was illegal. It's crazy the risks that these people are taking to ensure that women can still kill their babies. So yeah, it makes me wonder what else is going on there in states like Indiana or what have you, you know? Yeah. But this is wonderful. I mean, it's absolutely statistically significant. You can't say that it hasn't had an impact. Like, the law does change people's behavior, whether we want to admit that or not. So it's so important that we fight abortion on a political level, not just it's all important, right? The political
everywhere,
stuff is
everywhere
in yeah. your home, all of it. There's nothing that's not important. It's good to see that these laws are having such an impact.
Absolutely. And you know, I'll put this out there, though we do not know the real numbers, because again, now that it's illegal in Indiana, or almost overwhelmingly illegal in Indiana, people having abortions illegally, we can't count. We have no idea what those numbers are. Right. People going out of state to have abortions, we can't have any idea what those numbers are. But I'd be hard-pressed to believe that it's even close to half of that number are still getting abortions somewhere else. But we got it. It's got to be more than 50% fewer abortions taking place on Indiana women, because of the state law there. That would be my guess, as a number goes. So that's a big number. That's significant, very important. So, yeah. Well, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont has pledged $10.4 million from an emergency reserve to give to Planned Parenthood of Southern New England. This is all because of the Medicaid cuts in federal funding for organizations, particularly Planned Parenthood, who continue to kill babies. And as long as they're killing babies, they don't get the federal funding during this 1 year period. And we've got, now this is, I think, the fifth state that is giving money away to Planned Parenthood to keep them afloat because they refuse to stop killing babies. Because that's what they're all about, for real.
That's right. So, yeah.
Well, this is a really strange one. So we got a pro-life activist with the survivors organizations, survivors of the abortion Holocaust. This is usually younger folks. They're in their late teens, early 20s. They do work similar to what we do, going out to abortion facilities. They will They'll go out there sometimes to protest and picket, sometimes to go out there and sidewalk council, sometimes to engage in other activities like that, much of what we do as well. And yet, this happened in California. This Anastasia Rogers, who's with the survivors, was arrested outside the Planned Parenthood in San Francisco on a warrant because she had posted a 14-second Instagram reel, social media reel, about Planned Parenthood.
And was there anything inaccurate about what she posted about Planned Parenthood?
Gosh. Oh gosh, no, not at all. But it decided that this was a threatening video based on that it was exposing the realities of what goes on inside of Planned Parenthood, real truth, real facts, really what's going on at this Planned Parenthood. And so they decided to charge her under California's Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act.
That is insane. I hope that they take this all the way to the Supreme Court. We cannot have the government chasing down people. It's just like in the UK. You know, we've seen so many stories of people who have been arrested or confronted at their homes from their law enforcement because they posted something online that they didn't like, that they deemed was transphobic or a threat to women's health or what have you. Women being arrested for praying outside of abortion facilities. I mean, this is insane.
Yes, and in fact, I saw a woman, a video of a woman who got arrested in Britain for singing hymns, Christian hymns, in the public, and was being told you can only sing hymns inside a church.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, what is happening?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So things just keep in mind what's going on out there in the world. So the Illinois bishops have filed an amicus brief in opposition to an abortion referral mandate. This is part of the court case that is going forward out of Illinois. Thomas More Society has sued, and this is on behalf of a doctor in a pregnancy center, a couple pregnancy centers actually, and it's gone into the appellate courts. So now the bishops have added their advice in an amicus brief in this case, and we're certainly looking forward to the courts to overturn and find unconstitutional that Illinois law. Forcing pregnancy centers and others to tell people how and where they can get an abortion is as objectionable an evil as you can think of when it comes to free speech.
Well, and I feel like we've had these types of legal battles over and over and over again, and they continue to try and coerce and force. It's compelled speech. I mean, they're trying to force pregnancy centers to become party to abortion facilities. And I mean, I'm sure that it's getting worse because so many abortion clinics are shutting down. So they're basically trying to make them de facto satellite clinics in a way. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, especially when that's exactly what these pregnancy centers explicitly stand against. I just don't know why they continue to do this when we have fought this over and over and over again, and they lose every time in court.
Yeah, so far, yes, and they need to keep losing every time in court, that's for sure. Yeah, well, and in Illinois, also in Illinois, I should say, a pro-life organization, Coalition for Life, the 40 Days for Life organization actually started out of Coalition for Life in Texas. This is one of those kind of affiliate type things that are Coalition for Life. So they do sidewalk counseling and so forth. And they reported that a hearse arrived at the Planned Parenthood in Fairview Heights, Illinois, that they came there to pick up a woman to take to the funeral home who was carrying a bag out of Planned Parenthood that's believed to have been contained the baby's aborted body. Oh. And this particular abortion facility does abortions up to 27 weeks. So the strong belief that this was the body of a child, that and why that's why the funeral, the hearse was there from a funeral home to take this woman with that large bag away.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, several years ago we had a crematory vehicle show up at Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. And one of our volunteer sidewalk counselors let us know about it. We ended up arranging a meeting to talk to the people that run the crematory. They were there to pick up the body of a baby that had been aborted. And again, Planned Parenthood in St. Paul does abortions to 23 weeks. And so this was a very late, you know, a late term abortion. Baby's body is rather large. And they ended up taking the baby and doing something funeral-ish with that child's body and the mother who had the baby killed. So, yeah, very, very bizarre things happening that way. Well, and a Planned Parenthood clinic has botched another abortion with another ambulance showing up, taking a woman away in that ambulance. So we're seeing more and more of those all the time, and we're getting more reports of those happening across the country. Of course, we see them here in Twin Cities more often as well, unfortunately.
Well, I think about this a lot, because one of these lines of arguments for abortion proponents is that women were just dying in these back alley abortions or whatever, which isn't true. You've always had doctors doing illegal abortions or what have you, but it's not like these women are still safe from any sort of incident when they go and get their abortion. I mean, that women are getting picked up in ambulances all the time at abortion facilities. And I feel like I'm wondering, is it happening more frequently, or are we just hearing about it more because more people are willing to report on it right now?
Well, part of it is there's a greater presence at abortion facilities all across the United States.
Yep.
And 40 Days for Life has helped that be the case with the prayer vigils that are being kept at hundreds and hundreds of locations. And even when we do 40 Days for Life, we get more reports of ambulances, because we've got people out there at all hours praying instead of just during the times that they're aborting. So most ambulances show up in the afternoon or the evening at abortion facilities most often. So, if we have our sidewalk counselors out there and our regular prayer supporters out there with the sidewalk counselors in the morning and maybe into the early afternoon, we're missing what happens after 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And so we still see a lot of ambulances under that situation, but we see a few more when we have people out there till 7 and 8 o'clock at night. So that's all part of it. Well, this one is here we got mifepristone again. We've got mail order killing a baby again. And this is now coming from an organization or an account on eBay of all places, right? This is an online auction site. And this eBay account is called the Women Emergency Queen. And they're selling generic versions of the abortion pill. Well, the only way no doctors, no medical people involved necessarily at all. This is just simply all done online.
You know, I was just seeing something too about things being sold on Etsy. What was the article? Something about things being sold on Etsy containing random drugs that were not, like, people were trying to buy drugs in a similar way. And they were getting all kinds of random things. It was just completely unregulated. I'm like, I wish I could figure out what that exactly was. Yes, an extremely worrying investigation, because injectable vitamins are being sold. And it's just crazy. Yeah, they're supplying buyers with all kinds of other pills. And it's like, yeah. What do they expect? Like, you have these sites that are fairly unregulated. I like Etsy. eBay can be great sometimes, but yeah, when people start selling drugs and supplements, you have to be so careful. And then you are worried about all the people who are going to take advantage of this and do absolutely wicked and awful things.
Well, and the, you know, the FDA, we complain about their changing the REMS several times since 2000. They shouldn't have allowed it in the first place in 2000, but they've changed the REMS and loosened it up and made it available to do mail order abortions and all that stuff since 2020, you know, and rightfully we complain about that. But there still are some regulations in place. And one of the regulations that's still in place is that mifepristone can only be dispensed by approved prescribers and pharmacies. And that's not happening when you do this through eBay. So this is a dangerous drug. And like you said, you know, we've had enough stories we've talked about where men have decided to give a Mickey of these abortion pills to a pregnant woman that they don't want to be pregnant anymore because it's their child and they want to hide or get rid of the fact that they've had sex with this woman and a pregnancy has taken place. A baby right. is there. They don't want the responsibility. And so the coerced, forced, all that stuff is happening with abortion because of this. And just leading right into that, we've got a college professor in La Crosse, Wisconsin, who's been arrested and charged with the murder of his pregnant mistress because she refused to have an abortion.
Yeah.
It's along the same line. You know, in this case, instead of passing a drug to her to kill the baby, he killed her to hide the fact he's got a mistress.
Yep. Yeah, well, the second you started talking about men doing that, that was my first thought. It's like, I feel like I see an article almost every week now. It's so frequent right now where men are killing their girlfriends or slipping these abortion drugs because, for example, 9 times out of 10, he had an affair, got his mistress pregnant, and he wants to hide the evidence. But what about all of those cases of incest? All the things that people talk about. What about cases of incest? Or what about women who are being sex trafficked? It's like, you don't think that these abusive men are also taking advantage of how absolutely ridiculously accessible the abortion drugs are right now? Like, you would be crazy to think that these people are not taking advantage of the fact that there's almost no regulation on this stuff right now.
Yeah. And exactly. And it's so easy to obtain.
Yeah.
Online. It's without anything done to verify who's getting them and so forth. So
yeah, it's frightening.
Yeah. Well, Ireland, of course, we decried when they went from being a pro-life country to allowing for abortions to take place. But at least there's something that's happened here recently. Lawmakers in Ireland have rejected the idea of expanding abortion to later stages in the country. So thankfully, we're starting to see some semblance of sanity, some, not much, but some, back in the Emerald Isle. Mm. And then we have just across the channel, or I shouldn't say across the Irish Sea into Great Britain, we have the first person to be charged under the newer federal law or national law in the United Kingdom. With regard to praying within 150 meters of an abortion facility. So this is a pro-life activist. She's been charged under the local ordinances several times now. Now they've decided to charge her under the national ordinance, which has a much stiffer charges and time, jail time. But again, all this woman has done is stand there and pray. Silently, not out loud, silently.
It is unbelievable.
Now, 150 meters. Okay, I'm going to show off my lack of understanding the metric system here very well. But I know a meter is somewhere close to a yard. So 150 yards, that's a long distance.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think a meter is a little bit more than a yard. That's quite a distance. That you're not allowed to stand there and pray silently?
Well, yeah, it's almost 500 feet away.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's almost 500 feet away.
Well, in Chile, the voters elected a pro-life candidate for president, Jose Antonio Kast. is now going to be the president of Chile, and very good, defeated a Communist Party candidate. This is a swing that we're starting to see happening in South America, in particular Central Latin America, as broadly as well, where pro-life, pro-family, conservative candidates are starting to win in these elections, these national elections, the presidencies, as well as other positions within the countries. It happened in Argentina. Now it's happened in Chile. We're seeing it happen. And there's a move that seems to be starting to happen out of Latin America of going back to some sanity when it comes to these most fundamental, important areas of life and dignity of the human person, as well as of the family and marriage and so forth. So it's very good to see that maybe they'll be coming here and evangelizing us soon. We can hope, and maybe Western Europe as well, where it's also a mess.
Well, the speaking of
Western Europe,
yeah,
in Spain, a court has acquitted 21 pro-life volunteers who were accused of harassment for peacefully praying outside abortion businesses during a 40 Days for Life campaign back in 2022.
Hmm.
Wow. Standing outside there, holding a sign, maybe, but praying, simply praying. And arrested for that. So now they've been declared innocent, I guess, by the courts and set free. So,
well, it just makes me think, you know, we know that prayer is a weapon. We refer to the rosary as the weapon of Our Lady. And it's funny to me that these people who are irreligious implicitly know and understand that prayer is in fact a weapon, and it's powerful. You know, it's like you're not actually physically doing anything to harm people, but the fact that they know that this stuff is powerful, it just makes you think, mm-hmm. I need to be praying more. I'm mm-hmm. going to pray even harder now. If you're going to tell me I can't pray, I'm going to pray harder.
Right. And you know, one of the things for us though, in the United States is because of the First Amendment, which covers speech and religion, freedom of religion, it covers assembly, all those things. It's hard for local authorities, state authorities, to impose laws that prohibit us from doing this, what we do. And when they do, like the city of Minneapolis tried to do with the little mini buffer zone they did outside of the Planned Parenthood and Uptown area, we go to federal court and we win because of the First Amendment. And what we don't always remember is that most of Western Europe, though they have democratized since the days of the kings in most Western nations in Europe, they don't have the First Amendment. They don't have those protections that we have, where you can go to federal court and say, hey, wait a minute, I've got freedom of religion. I'm allowed to pray anywhere I want to pray.
Right.
You know, or I'm allowed to gather with other people and pray together on a public area. So that's a significant thing which we stand on. And like you just mentioned, it kind of makes us a little lazy in some respects too, because you know, we're allowed to do it, we can do it anytime, and we kind of forget to do it. So here's the encouragement, folks: come join us, come be out there and pray with us. We're gonna have another 40 Days for Life campaign starting at the beginning Ash Wednesday for Lent. It's a great one to come and be a part of. That's the one where toward the end, we do the last 7 days, we do the Jericho March, and then a week, actually 5 days after it concludes, we do our big Good Friday prayer vigil. So start thinking about that. Get that on your calendars and join us in these times of prayer, because it is, as Angela just said, how powerful, how important, how good it is, and it threatens evil, which is good. Always should be threatened. That's all the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.